Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, January 22nd, 2026. Starting at the top of page one, Watseka Park District's Sherry Johnson reflects on 2025, looks to 2026, by Carla Waters, managing editor. Editor's note. The Times-Republic annually asks some key area officials questions about how the previous year went and what they see for the future. This is one of several stories that will appear in the next few weeks. They all were asked the same questions. This one is from Watseka Park District Executive Director Sherry Johnson. Number one. What would you say is the greatest accomplishment of 2025 for Watseka Park District and why? There were so many accomplishments for the Watseka Park District in 2025, it is hard to judge the greatest. We have slowly but surely been getting all of our building changes in order and under control. The Learning Tree Daycare is settled in, and the children, parents, and staff are all working well together, and we are so pleased with that. Our Little Learners program at the Park District is starting to take off as well as our Homeschool Friday, programs. We have made it through some rough days, and all of us have been unified, and we keep improving. Sometimes It's the little accomplishments that grow into the greatest of all time. Number two, what are the biggest challenges facing Watseka Park District in 2026? The biggest challenge the Watseka Park District is facing is financial. I'm sure that goes without saying for most organizations. We need people to participate in programs in order for them to be successful, and finances are tough right now. We just keep working hard and know in our hearts that things will improve. Number three, what were other highlights for Watseka Park District in 2025? The Watseka Park District has brought on some new board members with strength in new areas, which will help us reach out to more people. We have secured some new IT equipment, which should make a lot of our presentations, etc., much easier to use. Number four. What do you see as some of the major projects for Watseka Park District in 2026? We have our Phase 2 building project going on now, and we are accepting donations to get us through that phase. It is very costly dealing with prevailing wage, and we want to make sure that we have everything possible without spending everything possible. Input from the community is crucial to achieving this, as our Phase 2 plan details. We want to create something that Watseka will be using for decades down the road. Number five, what would you most like the public to know? At the end of the day, we want the public to know how much we care about all of our programs, children, adult, and seniors. Programs take a lot of our time to put together and figure out, and when we don't have people sign up or show interest, it is really a blow to us. We are all about teaching and learning and growing, and we need the support of our community and patrons to succeed in that. We offer programs to fill in voids, to offer enjoyment, to promote family. Give us a try and support your Watseka Park District and make some great memories with us. We have parents that bring their children to us now that say they remember playing soccer or participating in programs. Never a better feeling. Number six, what can residents, local leaders, business leaders, and others do to help Watseka Park District? Support your Watseka Park District, volunteer, teach a class, come to class, give us suggestions. We are all in this together, and it takes all of us working together to keep moving forward and stay focused and positive. Make 2026 a great year. Iroquois County Clerk gives voter registration information. Iroquois County Clerk Brian Suver wants to remind everyone there is less than a month to register to vote before the March 17th primary election. In order to be able to vote at the polls, the last day to register or change an address before the primary election is Tuesday, February 17th. People may register in the office of the Iroquois County Clerk located in the Iroquois County Administrative Center weekdays before 8:30 a.m. between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. In addition, they may register in the office of their village or township clerk with their precinct committee person or voter registrar in their precinct. For the name of a registrar near you, please call the county clerk's office at 815-432-6960. Additionally, there is a paperless voter registration application on the Iroquois County website at IroquoisCountyIL, that's all lowercase, no spaces, .gov/elections, and also on the Illinois State Board of Elections website. People who are currently 17 years old and will be 18 years old by the date of the next general election may register now to vote in the primary election. To register, County Clerk Suver reminds people to bring at least two forms of identification, such as driver's license, social security card, utility bill, employer or student identification, credit card, birth certificate, or naturalization papers with your name, and one article must show your current address, current living address. To change their address, people can either go to the county clerk's office or mail in their voter registration card with the new address. Those who have changed their name by marriage since they last voted will need to re-register. Unit 9 School Board conducts January meeting. The Unit 9 School Board met in regular session January 20th. The board made the following decisions. Approved various policy additions and revisions for IASB Issue 120, third reading. Approved a Wanda Kendall window replacement bid from Aero Glass and an abatement bid from Brock Industrial Services, LLC. Approved the 2025-26 turned non-tenured and non-certified seniority lists. Approved a resolution authorizing transfer of engagement / appointment of legal counsel. Approved the employment of Terry Smith as a fully certified teacher as of January 5th. Approved the employment of Jacob Chauvin as Watsika Junior High School PE teacher as of January 5th. Approved transfers of Katie Laws to a third grade teacher and Lindsay Maple to a second grade teacher. Approved a letter of retirement from Debbie Pay as a playground supervisor. Approved a letter of resignation from Deborah Kundi as a cook's aide. Illinois Department of Revenue announces January 26th start to 2026 income tax season. Dateline Chicago. The Illinois Department of Revenue, IDOR, recently announced that it will begin accepting 2026 individual income tax returns on Monday, January 26th. The same day the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, opens the federal filing season. The deadline to file Illinois returns is Wednesday, April 15th, according to information provided. IDOR encourages taxpayers to file their returns electronically and choose direct deposit to receive funds as quickly and securely as possible. We want the tax filing process to be as smooth and stress-free as possible, said IDOR Director David Harris. Before filing, you should make sure you have all income documents, such as W-2s and 1099s. Filing online, reviewing information carefully, and submitting your returns early can help avoid delays and get you any refunds you may be entitled to sooner. During the 2025 filing season, IDOR received over 6.3 million individual income tax returns. About 5.75 million, or 91.3%, were filed electronically. Taxpayers who file accurate returns electronically and select direct deposit can typically receive their refunds in about 4 weeks. Free filing with MyTax Illinois. MyTax Illinois is IDOR's free online filing option that allows taxpayers to file with or without an account. The system guides users through a simple question and answer process, performs calculations automatically, and reduces errors by using pre-populated information when available. In addition to filing, MyTax Illinois allows users to make payments, respond to department inquiries, check the status of refunds via Where's My Refund, look up IL PINs, estimated tax payments, and Form 1099-G information. Taxpayers may also file using tax software, a tax professional, or paper form IL 1040. Take advantage of tax credits. IDOR reminds taxpayers to review their eligibility for tax credits that can reduce the amount of tax owed or increase a refund. Commonly claimed credits include the Illinois Earned Income Tax Credit, the Property Tax Credit, the K-12 Education Expense Credit, among others. Tax credits can put more money back in your pocket, Harris said. Taking time to review the credits you qualify for can make a real difference. Changes to United States Postal Service's USPS rules for postmarks could impact tax filings. The United States Postal Service, USPS, has announced changes to postmarks that could impact tax filings in 2026. The USPS postmark now shows the date of the first automated processing operation instead of when a piece of mail was dropped off. This modification could impact time-sensitive documents such as tax returns and payments. USPS will continue to add manual postmarks upon request at their offices. IDOR encourages taxpayers who mail their returns and tax payments to mail those items earlier than they typically would to ensure timely delivery. If you plan to mail your return or payment, don't wait until the last day, Harris stressed. Sending it early or requesting a manual postmark at the post office can help protect you from late penalties. Assistance is available. IDOR provides assistance by phone for tax-related questions with automated options for checking refund status, identifying IL PINs, or accessing estimated payments. Taxpayers may call 1-800-732-8866 or 217-782-3336. Free language assistance is available for limited English proficiency, LEP, individuals. For the most up-to-date information, forms, schedules, and instructions for the 2026 tax season, visit tax, www.illinois.gov. January is National Radon Action Month. By Iroquois County Public Health Department staff, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has designated January 2026 as National Radon Action Month. The purpose of this designation is to remind residents of Iroquois County of the serious danger that radon gas poses to us in our homes. It is estimated that radon causes about 21,000 lung cancer deaths annually in the United States. Approximately 2,900 of these deaths occur among people who have never smoked. The U.S. Surgeon General warns that radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer after cigarette smoking and the number one cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. Radon is a natural radioactive gas that is released in rock, soil, and water from the natural decay of uranium. One of the problems with radon is that it is colorless, odorless, and tasteless. The only way to tell if you have radon gas in your home is to test for it with a test kit. Mitigation is highly recommended with test results of 4-something PCI per liter or above. Parts. Okay. If your test results are at 2 PCI per liter, you should consider consulting with a mitigation professional. Accessing the radon in your home, 2 PCI per liter is the same as smoking 4 cigarettes per day or having 100 chest x-rays per year. 4 parts CI per liter is the same as smoking 8 cigarettes per day or having 200 chest x-rays per year. 10 PCI per liter is like smoking more than a pack a day. Free test kits are available at the Iroquois County Public Health Department. Using the test kit is easy and free. Just follow the directions provided with the test kit. For further questions and concerns, please contact Kate Mueller, Director of Environmental Health, at 815-432-2483 or kmueller@co.iroquois.il.us. Current names for old-time illnesses from staff reports. Iroquois County Genealogical Society is a nonprofit organization located in the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watseka. The group's purpose is to preserve important information and facts which pertain to the county, along with preserving newspapers, obituaries, marriage licenses, and many, many other documents which contain information which needs to be kept. Additionally, ICGS is the place to go if you want to start researching your family tree, or maybe you've been researching it but need more information. They have several tools and programs available to help with this process. ICGS members can also assist those who want to learn more about specific people or events, and not necessarily those in Iroquois County. ICGS is open to membership, so if interested, you can call 815-432-3730, visit www.iroquoiscountygenealogy.org, or send an email to iroquegene@gmail.com. They offer several events throughout the year, many of which are free to attend. and they are open 5 days a week with their office located on the first floor of the museum. Members receive the Iroquois Stalker newsletter a couple times a year, and it's filled with lots of information from the past. A membership drive and open house is set for 1 through 6 p.m. Friday, March 13th, in the ICGS room of the museum. More information on this event will be available at a later date. In a recent Stalker, ICGS members put together the current names of old-time illnesses. Here's a medical trip back in time. Blindness was known as ablepsy. Tuberculosis was African consumption. Flu-like symptoms likely caused by malaria were referred to as ague. Stroke was known as apoplexy. Alcoholism was barrel fever. A mentally ill person was known to suffer from Bethlehemite. Jaundice was biliousness. Typhus was ship fever. Black death, jail fever, or camp fever. Depression was black dog. Smallpox was black pox. Sepsis or septicemia was known as blood poisoning. Dysentery was bloody flux. Sunstroke was brain fever. Dengue fever was breakbone. Yellow fever was bronze John. And inflammation of the mucous membrane was known as catarrh. Swelling with pain was referred to as chalk stones. Menopause was change of life. Infection following childbirth was childbed fever. Whooping cough was chin cough. Malaria was congestive fever. Tuberculosis was known as consumption. Infection was called corruption. A cold was coryza. Weakness of the body was called debilitas. Depression or another sort of emotional breakdown was referred to as domestic malady. Manic depressive was known as double personality. And swelling caused by fluid retention was called dropsy. Inflammation of the intestinal mucous membrane was known as dysentery. Acid indigestion was dyspepsia. Intestinal inflammation was enteritis. A ruptured blood vessel was referred to as extravasated blood. Epilepsy was the falling sickness. Convulsions were known as fits. Pulmonary tuberculosis was known as galloping consumption. Anemia was green sickness. Flu was grip or grippy. And sunstroke was ictus solus. Developmentally delayed and exceptionally talented was known as idiot savant. Scrofula, swelling of the neck glands, was known as king's evil. Flu was la grippe. Hansen's disease was leprosy. Back pain was called lumbago. Pneumonia was referred to as lung fever. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease was mad cow. Insanity was called mania. Severe depression was melancholia. Inflammation of the leg was known as milk leg. Emaciation was marasmus. And gangrene was mormal or mortification. Exposure to lead was referred to as painter's colic. Problems with muscle control, such as tremors or paralysis, was known as palsy. Inflammation of the lung was pleurisy. Diphtheria was putrid fever. Tonsillitis was quinsy or quinsy. Malaria was known as remitting fever. Scab was a sanguineous crust. Rheumatism was screws. Impetigo was scrumpox. And hardening of the arteries was senile gangrene. Milk sickness was referred to as sloes. Cholera was St. Vitus dance. A skin infection was known as St. Anthony's fire. H1N1 virus was known as swine flu. Parkinson's disease was known as the shakes. An ulcer was ulcus. Someone who was administered anesthesia was said to have went under. A boil was known as Whitlow. Pneumonia was also known as winter fever. Yellow fever was known as yellow jacket. And a lack of vitamin C was called scorbutus. Chaban's Lodge plans ham and bean fundraiser. Janet Boguszewski Bradley, a member of Dorcas Chapter of the Eastern Star, gets ready to do the cooking at an upcoming event. And there's a lovely picture. From 4 to 6 p.m., January 24th, the Chaban's Lodge of St. Anne, number 429 Freemasons, will have an all-you-can-eat ham and bean dinner with cornbread while it lasts. Dinner is $10 for adults and $5 for 10 years old and younger. It will be at 80 East 1st South Street, Chaban's. Proceeds help fund the gifts for the Innocent Foundation that helps women at Christmas in three counties. Those who cannot attend but would like to donate may send donations to Chaban's Lodge of St. Anne, care of Brad Robbins, Secretary, 130 Mansfield Court, Chaban's, Illinois, 60922. 90th Birthday Open House planned in Ashcombe. Dwayne Behrens of Chaban's will celebrate his 90th birthday with an open house hosted by his children from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, February 1st at the ABVM Catholic Church Parish Hall, Ashcombe, Illinois. Dwayne was born on February 3rd, 1936, in rural Clifton and grew up in Milks Grove Township. All family and friends are invited to the open house. Cards and well wishes will reach him at 3386 North U.S. Highway 4552, Chaban's, Illinois, 60922 for those who are unable to attend. Sheldon Concord Bloodmobile set for February 16th. The Sheldon Concord Township Bloodmobile will be February 16th at the Sheldon Community Center. The event will be from 12:30 to 6 p.m. Contact Marilyn Busick, 815-867-7219 for more information or schedule online appointments at redcrossblood.org. Blood is always at a critical low supply. This is Lincoln. I've been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, January 22nd, 2026. Have a great day.